And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Wick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Wick.
We're back, and I guess that will be the last of the just realizing, or just telling Casey, the Belmont, I'm sure there are still some tickets, but but you're running out of time. it's tomorrow, if you lost track. Who was it today that told me earlier? It was Aaron Yagoda. In fact, Aaron was supposed to stop by. Aaron was saying, a friend of his, he was talking to yesterday and said, "When's the Belmont?" He says, "What do you mean, when's the Belmont?" And he said he's a casual, he's not a serious horse player or fan, but it's Saturday. I saw ads. In fact, you know what? I saw Saratoga ads since I've been down here this week. So, hey, Tom Durkin is joining us, and Tom, I had a pre-production meeting just now with Billy Rappaport, so we paved the way for this conversation.
Oh, very good,
Tom. This was one of these surprise pieces of news that came about with Fox getting their first opportunity to broadcast a Triple Crown event and adding you to the festivities. Just I mean, countless people are just delighted, and I'm sure you're as delighted and anticipating as much as anybody.
Well, you know, nothing like a little nostalgia, you know, to add to the broadcast. I'm looking forward to it. It just kind of came out of the blue, and I thought, hey, what the heck, you know, let's go for it.
I love it, and in terms of having to, you know, to get in vocal shape and getting into the swing of it. How tough is that for you? I know you said you were going to come down and call, some races and tape some races and get reacclimated. What did you do to prepare for tomorrow?
Well, for the last 3 weeks, I guess, I live in Saratoga, so I've been driving down from Saratoga to Belmont on racing days and calling the races into my iPhone and recording them and seeing what I did right, seeing what I did wrong. And I can tell you, not like riding a bike. Everybody says, I like riding a bike. No, it is not.
Do you feel, is there a freshness to it for you?
Freshness? No, I wouldn't. It's all familiar, but it just takes a while to get back that familiarity and be able to work the words and just getting the memorization back and remembering how I did it. Oh, yeah, that's what you used to do. Here's what you do, blah, blah. There's lots of routines. There's lots of redundancies built into the preparation to make sure that if I do make a mistake, I have ways of trying to avoid making that mistake by doing various things. So there's that. And just trying to relate the images of what goes on during a race and try to elocute that instantly. And it's the instant part that took a little while. I'm pretty much there.
Well, the initial reports talked about the Met, the Manhattan, and the Belmont. And I thought, okay, that's great. But then I understood that the Jiper is going to be included, and I thought, wow! I mean, right into the lion's den with a 14-horse field.
Well, you're going to jump in. You might as well jump in with both feet, brother. So yeah, that's about as hard a race as you can call it. Technically, 14 horses going 6 furlongs. The only thing that'd be tougher would be 15 horses going 5.5, but that's you just got to really be sharp and on your toes, and we'll get it done.
Every expectation and confidence I'll be on the grounds and as opposed to watching on TV, but it really, to me, it was a terrific idea by Fox to have you do this, and the only thing that would have made it better, Tom, honestly, was if Mage could have won in Baltimore and then come here to give you a chance to call your own crown.
People seem to think that I'm obsessed about calling a triple crown winner. I'm really not. If it happens, fine. But at these, this Belmont in particular, this it came up huge. It's a terrific race.
It really is. You want to share any opinion? You got any thoughts about how this unfolds?
I don't want to get married to I've never been married, so maybe there's a reason I don't get married to any particular horse. They all can win. I can make a case for every one of them, with perhaps Il Miracolo, but the rest of them, yeah, you can make a case for any of them. Forte, there's a big question there. I mean, he could just have a breakout massive event. Maybe missing that 2 weeks around Derby to Derby, that's a big question mark. But who better to train a horse in that particular situation than Todd Fletcher,
Agreed. Well, Tom, you sound in great voice and everything in place for a return to the Crow's Nest high atop Belmont Park tomorrow on Fox Sports. Best of luck. Not that you need it. Tom, thank you for this.
All right, Steve. I appreciate it as ever. Thank you.
Tom Durkin, everybody, and Tom's return to the booth high atop the building and returning to the broadcast position, Nicole Russo. Did you change already somehow? Did you slip? You changed, didn't you? No?
Yes.
You did.
Yes.
Holy cow! All right, so you're ready. So you like the trainers. You know, they come in the morning and they're wearing trainer clothes, and then they go home and they freshen up. You didn't go home, but you're ready for the race day.
I'm an intrepid reporter with the quick change, just like Kara Danvers.
I love it. What are you covering? What are your races?
Oh gosh, today the Intercontinental and the Acorn, where of course we've got Kentucky Oaks heroine Pretty Mischievous is one of the bigger stars of the weekend, and tomorrow just terrific matchups in the Jaipur and in the Ogden Phipps.
Excellent. All right, then let's get a couple of quick Friday opinions on the two filly and mare races.
I think that the Acorn is so interesting because in recent years, you know, we've seen it showcase these very good, you know, one-turn fillies like Gamine. And now it's sort of a race where, you know, you can get, you know, kind of these sprinter fillies stretching out a little, or, you know, kind of the more route fillies, you know, cutting back just a tiny bit, because it is a mile and a 16th now, but it is still around one turn. So I think it's very interesting that, you know, you've got a horse like Pretty Mischievous, who obviously is your traditional, you know, route type filly, who's going to be looking at these major, you know, New York Grade One races like the Coaching Club and the Alabama. And then in there with her, you've got a filly like Money's Gold, who is, you know, staying at one turn, but, you know, going a little bit longer than she's gone. So I think, you know, that sort of matchup just mentally and physically with both the distance and the configuration here at Belmont, I think is very interesting.
Give us your thoughts about the two sort of emergent type fillies in this spot, Randomized and Good Girl Bad Habits. Randomized 5-1, 10-1 on the Brittany Russell Invader, and there's really not a lot separating them. So the you know, twice the price is nice on Good Girl Bad Habits. I'm very intrigued by the pair of them in a spot like this.
You know, I do think it's a wide open race because, you know, the Acorn is, you know, it's a huge race, it's a prestigious race, but I also do think it's, you know, it's a stepping stone for Pretty Mischievous, who's, you know, coming back off that, you know, monster effort in the Oaks. Good Girl Bad Habits, I think, is very intriguing. You know, she's another one who is adding distance, but is getting to go one turn. And, you know, Brittany Russell, what can you say? I mean, you know, she's kind of at a tear right now with some of these horses, and she's really brought a strong contingent here from her Maryland base to Belmont, including, you know, the very well-named, looks just like Into Mischief doppelganger tomorrow, looking for another Grade One. You know, I don't think Brittany Russell, you know, shipped these horses up here lightly.
I don't think she sends anything out lightly.
Yeah.
A lot of dots being connected by her barn everywhere they go, and then of course back home in Maryland. Then on the Intercontinental front, we do have one interloper in here in Amy C. And I thought the only person bringing her up, and then finally this morning a couple of dominoes fell on the Phil D'Amato California Invader, but Bubble Rock, way the filly to be.
Way the filly to be. And, you know, she's, I think, you know, her season debut was a close second to a very good filly in Gam's Mission, maybe while going a little bit longer than she wanted to go, cut back a little bit in the license fee at Belmont, and is leading the top four out of that race into this. You know, so really, that's kind of the story, is sort of, you know, the, I think the local Belmont-based, you know, East Coast-based fillies versus Amy C., who, you know, has won two straight stakes in California, won both of them off a layoff, obviously runs well off a layoff. This is a little bit more of a layoff than they had planned. She was entered in the Giants Causeway at Keeneland in April, spiked a little temperature. They were forced to miss that race. And she's, you know, rather than shipping all the way to California and then to New York, she's remained in Kentucky to train and is trained, you know, very sharply. And again, runs well off a layoff.
Who else in here do you consider interesting and viable?
I really think it's a pretty wide open field. I think if you like Bubble Rock, you've got to like, you know, again, she's leading the top four out of that field, you know, out of, in the license fee. And I think if you like her and you're looking for value, it might be worth looking at these fillies who were very close, you know, second, third, fourth behind her.
Turn to Saturday. Nicole Russo with us from the Daily Racing Forum. Talk about the Belmont first, and then we'll hit your races.
The Belmont, I think, is just, as a pedigree race, you know, delving into it, it was fascinating because obviously, you know, everybody knows by now about Tappet and the Belmont Stakes, Tappet going for his fifth winner in this race. But he's, you know, of course, you know, obviously has Tappet Trice, who just looked from phenomenal training this morning as he bids, you know, one of two bidding to give Tappet that record fifth Belmont winner. It just exuding good energy this morning after, you know, everybody had kind of a forced day off yesterday. He was really, you know, ready to do something sharp, you know, training well. But then Tappet is, you know, besides his two representatives, he's all over this race. He's the broodmare sire of four entrants.
It's unbelievable.
Two of them on, you know, that cross we've talked about, Steve, with, you know, Gunrunner over a Tappet mare. One, Hit Show, who ran a sneaky good race in the Derby, is Candy Ride over a Tappet mare, which is, you know, another variation on the same cross. And then we get to, you know, Arcangelo, who just, you know, from the second of what will be three crops by Arrogate, multiple grade one winners in both of his first two crops, just a tremendous loss to the breed, Arrogate is looking like. And so you look at Arcangelo, and you have, you know, he's an unbridled line stallion over a Tappet mare from the female family of Better Than Honor. And I don't think there are three better names you can have, you know, right there in your pedigree looking at the Belmont Stakes. So from a pedigree standpoint, I had a lot of fun looking at the Belmont.
Beyond the pedigree, on the physical side, one point that came up earlier, it talked about Belmont being not just suitable from a pedigree standpoint, but physically with Tappet Trice and how rangy and loping he is, and how, you know, the gentle slope of the turns here could really benefit him in particular. But from a physical standpoint, you know, some long body types and the like. I mean, how preparable actually is that to a, you know, to a, the type that is kind of a twitchy, maybe more of a twitchy, nimble horse when it comes to going 12 panels?
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have a huge field, so I don't think, you know, a big, rangy, galloping horse is at a disadvantage compared to, like, a more nimble horse. So it's, you know, it's certainly, you know, that's something where, you know, I think you kind of look at the individual race and the size of the field and stuff like that. Yeah, so I don't think we have a field size this year where one type of horse is going to be advantaged or disadvantaged. But as you said, you know, Tappet Trice, this big, long, rangy, you know, covers a lot of ground very efficiently, which, you know, I mean, that certainly helps from a stamina standpoint, you know, as far as not expending extra energy. You know, so I think if he can get into, you know, kind of that, get away from the gate well and get into kind of that, you know, comfortable rhythm, you know, like I said, you know, physically he's a horse who just looks like he's just peaking, and this was kind of the plan all along for him. On the flip side, you've got, you know, the other horse who impresses me so much physically is his stablemate, Forte. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch, you know, how Todd Pletcher has trained these horses differently, because in contrast to Tappet Trice, where this was sort of, you know, the plan all along was the Derby, and then if we didn't win the Derby, the 5 weeks to the Belmont. You know, Forte, they kind of got set back on their heels, of course, with their scratch from the Derby, because they had him, you know, you plan your prep schedule, you have the horse peak on the first Saturday in May, and then now, you know, not only do you get kind of set back on your heels there, but now they're coming in a position where the horse hasn't run in 10 weeks. You know, so I think Todd has trained him a little bit, you know, harder as a result. And, you know, this is a horse, Forte, who is just still continuing to exude good energy. I mean, I just came from watching him paddock school, and he is, you know, just well-fleshed and on his toes, and a horse who, you know, just continues to give a good account of himself physically.
All right. Well, so you're firmly in the Todd camp.
I think so, just, you know, in terms of looking at them. And then, you know, I mean, Arcangelo has, you know, has really very much impressed me this week as well.
And a little Hit Show.
So.
Was there any, I mean, it's 5 weeks since Derby. Did you see him post? You must have seen him. How many days in a row did you go back after Derby to watch Forte at Churchill?
I did see him train once. They once it became clear that they weren't going to stay there and train toward the Preakness, he came up here to Belmont pretty quickly.
Okay,
that
you
week
because he stayed. All right, so.
He remained a few days, but they once you know it was clear the Preakness was coming off the table, they you know came up here
to prepare. Anything that you see different in him?
In terms of you know the way the horse behaved and trained coming into the Derby, and the way the horse is behaving and training the couple of days I have been on the ground this week, you know I mean. Forte is Forte. I mean, this is a champion who acts like a champion.
All right. Well, Nicole is satisfied. That goes a long way. Let's talk about your races. Go take us through your favorite plays or your favorite spots.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the two races I looked at, I think we have such fascinating matchups because, I mean, the Jaipur, I mean, you know, you already had Casa Creed, who's going for his third straight win in this race, who we knew was pointing for the race. Then you had Caravel reroute and, you know, and come to this race. And she is stretching out a little bit from, you know, the 5.5 that she's won 4 straight at now to the 6 here. But she is a 6 furlong graded winner over this course in the Intercontinental last year. You know, so you have that matchup, and then the two of them didn't scare anybody away. You know, it's an overflow field for the Jaipur, and I think that the two of them, it's just such a great matchup because I think the draw and the race shape a little bit favored Casa Creed because Caravel is drawn toward the outside, and she'll want to be part of the pace, and there is a good deal of pace in the race that she'll have to contend with, and Casa Creed should have that pace in front of him to set up a run. But while the race shape might favor Casa Creed a little bit, the recency and the recent form and her 4 straight wins, I think, favor Caravel. So I think, you know, you kind of tip the scales there. So I think that's it's a really interesting race. And then, you know, you want to talk about another great matchup in the FIPS, you know, we have Clairiere and Secret Oath meeting for the third time already this year, and it's their rubber match. And, you know, you look at the field, and it's, you know, you've got the two of them, and then, oh, we have a grade one winner and Played Hard, and we have a graded stakes winner on this course and Pass the Champagne, and another grade one winner on this course and Search Results, and I mean, it's a terrific field.
Agreed. Feels like it might be Search Results day, that at least that's the way I'm approaching it.
She could very well work out. You know, Chad Brown this week kind of said, you know, he thinks that the trip got her a little bit in the La Troyenne. You know, she was kind of inside and didn't really get a chance to get outside in a comfortable rhythm. She has drawn in post, you know, 2 here, but it's only a field of 6, and they've got that long run down the backstretch. So I think she should be able to get herself into a little bit more of a comfortable rhythm here and, you know, work out that trip that Chad is looking for from her.
Nicole Russo, everybody, daily racing form, of course, keeping an eye as well on the Bree Show down at OBS. I saw your byline on, and next week. And then, actually, I just saw the catalog for the Phasig, the new Phasig
Midlantic,
return to Timonium for the end of June. So 2 more 2-year-old sales, and then you'll start turning your attention. Somebody left a July sale catalog here, so I got that without having to check the mailbox.
Yeah, and you know, yearling sale season is, you know, it's kind of fun because it is like, you know, the NBA draft, and you know, or the NFL draft, a pro sports draft. I think the 2-year-old sales, you know, you're seeing kind of ready to race horses and a little bit more of a finished product. But I like the prognostication of, you know, the yearling sales and looking at the pedigrees and the physicals and all that. So it's really a fun time of year right now. And I think, you know, the market has been good both in the yearling sales and the 2-year-old sales because there's an appetite to go racing, I think, with a strong racing product and strong purses in a number of states. You know, the market overall has been pretty good, but I mean, especially when you're talking about young, active racing stock.
Well, we've got young, active turf riding stock in Nicole Russo handling the sales and breeding side for the Daily Racing Form, but we like it when they let her loose to cover racing. And with Marty gone, you're picking up some of the mantle, covering some, going to do some Ellis this summer?
Of course, the Pea Patch. We're already running at the Pea Patch this weekend.
We'll talk about it.
Four horses out of the Kentucky Derby, highlighting the field for the Matt Wynn there. Yeah, and it's a lot of fun because, we end the Triple Crown on Saturday, and you kind of start the second season for the three-year-olds up, right there on Sunday, and then, with the Ohio Derby a couple of weeks hence that we're expecting to see two fills in. So plenty of life ahead on the three-year-old horizon. Yeah. And depending on who wins tomorrow, we could conceivably have three different winners of the, Triple Crown races.
Yep.
With the three-year-old championship, up for grabs.
Totally.
Depending on the winner.
Totally. Two fills heading to Ohio. We'll see who shows up for the Indiana Derby, the July 4th weekend. There's a lot of racing ahead.
Yeah.
Nicole Russo, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Always great. Nicole Russo, everybody. We're going to get Nick apparently is inching closer, but we're going to call him anyway. I don't want to make him come running across the building. Thank you, Nicole. Absolutely fabulous. So let's get Nick in here for the last about 15 minutes of the morning, and he joins us now. If I'm here and you're in New York, and of course yesterday was all goofy, you would have been here for the day too, but it doesn't feel like a real Belmont experience without you here.
I know, I'll have to come by and see you, Steve. I don't want you to miss out on the augury that is experiencing me live and in person.
let's not waste time. We can chat later, but some quick Friday opinions before we look at tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the last couple stakes races are going to be pretty chalky. Siskiyou looks like a very likely winner of the Belmont Gold Cup. I think if you like a price horse in the Intercontinental, it would behoove you to try and play some doubles into them. I think Sarah Harper is a little interesting at a relatively decent price. I also could warm up to Go and Good a little bit, though Bubble Rock is a horse with a lot of ability and certainly one of the major players there. The Acorn's tough because you want to find some value, but it really looks like the race shapes up very nicely for Pretty Mischievous. And I'd like to think that her Oaks was a totally legitimate performance, which I think it was. She traveled so beautifully the whole way around there. Looked like a winner really from the 3/8 pole home. And I don't think the one turn configuration hurts her chances at all. So I'm on board there. And, other than that, I think as far as the Belmont Gold Cup goes, my biggest play is going to be to bet a Siskiyou over Strong Tide Exacta. And I'll use Channel Maker a little bit as well. Because it looks like I think he'll stay the 2 miles. He's a horse that seems pretty bottomless. I also think that he's been a bit better with Luis Saez than he's been with any other jockey. So I'm inclined to think that he might be able to just, comfortably gallop along and then maybe get to the front in a reasonable amount of time and hopefully at least hang around for a share of it. That was, those were kind of my main Friday thoughts. Just the game is going to be a really fun race to watch, but not particularly so to bet, I would say. Mid-Italian is supposed to win, and Spinderella looks like the biggest threat, but I'm not going to spend a bunch of money trying to beat an Italian.
No, I hear you. I do want to talk about the $5 doubles, but let's talk about Saturday, and then we'll go back and we'll close out the conversation with what you think might be the most prime $5 double plays.
That sounds good. So we'll talk about Saturday now.
Yeah, let's. A quick hit on the True North and the poker.
Those look very chalky, right? If it's not Elite Power, it'll be Strobe in the True North. And as far as the other half goes, I think we're looking chalky there as well. Shea Pierre, he was a real revelation in the Maker's Mark Mile. I don't really see him having a big chance to be beaten in here. So I think both of those races are about finding the right exacta partner and finding the right horses to bet with them. That's sort of the way it looks to me.
All right, let's get into the teeth of the card, starting with the Brooklyn. You do have the Brooklyn, Phipps, Woody Stevens, Jiper, pick four. We should also mention the poker does start the triple play. The last three stakes are on the grass, the poker and the Jiper and the Manhattan, the $3 triple play, but the Brooklyn.
Yeah, tough race. You know, it's always hard for me to garner much of an opinion in here with all of these gallopers and wondering how the pace will shake out. You know, I think that I liked hearing that Brad Cox wants Warrant more forward to place. It clearly makes him the one to beat, in my opinion. I do think that Next is going to run a better race, but I'll tell you, Steve, I fear that, ironically, that in a race that Fearless won last year, Bright Future looks like that kind of horse.
Yeah.
And he just might want to gallop along. And, you know, this is my kind of Todd Fletcher horse, one that's taking a pretty appreciable step forward class-wise. And, you know, these Todd horses are funny, right? They tend to run in spots, and when they get going, usually it's at the 11th hour, and that's the case with him. But I think he might just be able to settle into a really nice rhythm and get the distance without issue. So I wanted to try him at what should be a relatively decent price.
How about in the Phipps?
I mean, I'm going to pick Clairiere. I think she's the horse to beat. I'll tell you, at 6-1, the value is played hard. And I'm gonna at least give her some pretty serious consideration, because, you know, I think that's a good price, and I'm not altogether certain that Search Results is really capable of winning a race like this. She's obviously knocked on the door on numerous occasions, and I think this configuration really suits Clairiere. The elongated one-turn race is good for a closing type.
Let's pause here then and talk about the filly and mare double. It starts with the... it starts with the Acorn. I'm sorry. So $5 Acorn Phipps double.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to give out a chalky number, but you're playing probably pretty mischievous into Clairiere, maybe for a little value played hard. Playhard has to prove that she's not a Churchill horse for course, though, and that's a legitimate concern.
All right. I mean, you know, this, and we should say, I mean, if you do want to play straight, you can go pretty mischievous Clairiere for $20. You can hit
exactly.
It four
you play
it four
or five times.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's like today's triple play. You know, today's triple play could be very chalky. We were talking about it last night and said, you know, you might play that chalk number for $30.
That's what I did. I put up that's the ticket I put up.
You're such a clairvoyant, Steve.
Let's talk about the Woody Stevens, and of course the Sprint. This ties to the Intercontinental, but let's first talk about how to approach it. And if you hadn't heard earlier, Fort Bragg is scratched.
Yeah, big scratch there, obviously, with him being a major player. You know, look, I've done well in this race over the years, taking cutbacks and fast-paced races, so I'm going to be partial to a horse like Gunpilot. I think he probably wanted to be going shorter all along. He comes in the right way, so I'm going to give him the nod on top. He's going to be a big price, but I don't have an argument with General. He's a horse to beat.
Interesting, because I'm a little cool on General Jim.
Why?
I think he's got to get faster.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but you don't. I think he still could have a step forward in him. I'm not all that concerned about that.
All right, I get it. So then for the Intercontinental, Sarah Harper and Bubble Rock with Gunpilot and General Jim.
Yeah, I think that works. I mean, I guess the horse that you're at least supposed to talk about in this context is Arabian Lion.
Yeah.
You know, Arabian Lion, obviously, for a barn that has certainly been able to get a horse ready to go 7 furlongs with speed after going longer. You know, I worry about competition. I think the competition we faced last time was weak. I don't think this is.
All right. The one horse I should ask you about that I ended up taking a shine to was Drew's Gold on the outside.
Oh, I like him as well. I was remiss in not bringing him up. So I like Drew's Gold as well. I think he's very, very good. And I think he's going to get a great trip. I think the outside draw worked out really well for him. So I'm not concerned about what kind of trip he's going to get at all. I'm absolutely using Drew's Gold as well.
Very good. How about the Jiper?
I mean, what a fun race, right? It's a great betting opportunity because, to me, the favorite of the weekend that you really want to take the biggest swing against is Caramel. And she's not going to get the lead in here. She's been fine in her last two starts, right? She's run well. Has she run extremely well? No, she's been perfectly competent. She's gotten the job done. This competition is way tougher than what she's run against. I mean, the horse to beat, in my opinion, is Casa Creed. You know, until somebody beats Casa Creed in this race, it's his race to lose. And the fact that he's run so well fresh, I think, indicates that he'll be in very good position here. Big Invasion is very interesting. He had very little go his way at Churchill. He's buried inside, checked multiple times, never got a clear run. I'm looking for him to run better. You know, you're probably buying low on Big Invasion, because if he's 6 or 8 to 1, this is a horse that had he won at Churchill, no, he'd be 2 to 1. Right. So and I know that's a little bit of a leap to say if he had won when he wasn't even really close. But I think that's something you have to consider at least for a second or two. If you're talking about big long shots, horses that, you know, that maybe could potentially slide in for part of it, I thought Dinwiddie Duke had a shot to get a piece of this. I like the jockey chase of Javier Castellano. He had very little pace to run at last time. Probably a horse who was always going to need to work himself back into form. Now he's third off a layoff. Why can't he run third at 30 to 1?
There you go. So when it comes to the $5 double here, we're talking about, did we already do that?
That's Intercontinental into this. So yeah, that would be like a Bubble Rock.
No, actually, no. No, it's the Intercontinental was into the Woody Stevens.
Oh, that was into the Woody, right? What is into this?
I guess they didn't. I mentally kept thinking it was Intercontinental with the Jaipur, but it's not.
I'm going to have to make a list. I might enlist the help of my esteemed colleague Philly Joe to arrange all the doubles. I'll text you a list.
They're on the they're at Derby Trail too. I put up the page.
There we go.
All right.
Don't have to search far and wide.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, for me, any multi-race bet for me here is I'm going to use the 10 and 11.
Very
so
good.
I'll use backups like that. Caravelle will completely stop any multi-race bet I have.
I hear you. The Met, the Manhattan, and the Belmont.
I mean, you know, I don't want to go on some big rant against Cody's Wish. I think Cody's Wish is outstanding. He's clearly the horse to beat. His Churchill Downs was excellent. You know, there's no denying that. You know, can he work out a good trip from the rail against a tougher field? You know, was the field last time particularly weak? Yeah, but I mean, beat him like a drum with no pace setup at all. So it's I don't want to say, you know, he's a great horse to bet against or anything like that. I think it's a matter of how you can structure some multi-race bets to give you some backup opportunities. I think intra-race, the thing that I'd like to do the most is figure out how to slide in, slow down Andy into the number.
Yep.
I think this is an interesting placement off the layoff. You know, this is a horse whose form I really underrated. I underestimated coming into this because he's really never run bad, Steve. I mean, he's a horse that's run remarkably well over and over, and I think that's notable. So I saw him mentioned for this race, and I thought, man, that's aggressive off the layoff. But I think he can get a piece of this. I think he's going to be much bigger than that 10-to-1 as well.
Well, Warlike Goddess with Cody's Wish and some Slow Down Andy. We got 2 minutes to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think in the Manhattan, I'm going to play Warren Point and Ocean Atlantique. I think Ocean Atlantique can be forwardly placed. I don't think he ran that bad at Churchill. I'll use Up to the Mark a little bit as well. I don't want to just concede the race to him. And then the Belmont for me is all about how I can work around Arcangelo, Hitcho, and Capitrice. Those are the three horses I want to be alive to in any multi-race play. And my big play vertically is going to be Capitrice over those two in the exactas. I have a pretty strong feeling that's going to be a popular combination because it feels as if Arcangelo is going to get some money. And obviously Capitrice is going to be well backed at the windows. So of those three who I really rate somewhat equally in terms of win chances, I might just bet the best price, who I think is going to be Hitcho, and I don't think Hitcho will get all that shine, given that he's not a big workhorse. So I'm going to definitely try him. He's a horse I've wanted to bet in the Belmont since the Derby.
There you go. That's been the conversation, and you and I had it as well. No Angel of Empire, though, huh?
No, I'm against Angel of Empire. I don't love the blinkers on it. I don't think that's going to do for him, and I really have a hard time believing that he's going to get better in a mile and a half.
You can't get better than wrapping up the Triple Crown season with Nick Tamaro and Tam 1215. Come see me. I got a box of Italian cookies.
Oh, I'm headed there.
Nick Tamaro, everybody. There we go. And we're going to send you out into the race weekend on that note. And on that note, 50 years ago today, almost to the hour, we're a few hours away, Secretariat turned in a performance that has stood the test of time and the imagination of sports fans and horse players for years and years. We're going to listen to it right now, but I want to thank Aaron Wellman, Hammer, Jimmy Ventura, Shap and Scully, Billy Rappaport, and Tom Durkin from Fox and tomorrow's broadcast. Nicole Russo, Nick Tamaro, good luck today and tomorrow, everybody. Talk to you Monday at the races.
Everybody's in line, and they're off. Looks like the early lead goes to Mike Gallant. Yes, Mike Gallant going for the lead with Price and Prince on the outside. Secretary to weigh very well, has good position on the rail, and in fact is now going up with the leaders. They're moving for the first turn. It is Secretariat. Sham on the outside is also moving along strongly. And now it's Sham. Sham and Secretariat are right together into the first turn. Mike Gallant has third behind them. Then it's Twice a Prince, and the trailer is Private Smiles as they go by the turn. Those two together, Sham on the outside. Sham getting ahead in front as they move around the turn with Secretariat second. Then there's a large gap. Make it eight lengths back to Mike Gallant in third and Twice a Prince fourth. And Private Smiles is still the trailer. They're on the backstretch. It's almost a match race now. Secretariat's on the inside by a head. Sham is on the outside. They've opened 10 lengths on Mike Gallant, who is third by a head, with Twice a Prince fourth. Then it's another eight lengths back to Private Smiles, who is trailing the field. They continue down the backstretch, and that's Secretariat now taking the lead. He's got it by about a length and a half. Still Sham, 10 lengths back, Mike Gallant, Twice a Prince. They're moving on the turn now. For the turn, it's Secretariat. It looks like he's opening. The lead is increasing. Make it three and a half. He's moving into the turn. Secretariat holding on to a large lead. Sham is second, and then it's a long way back to Mike Gallant and Twice a Prince. They're on the turn. It's Secretariat is blazing along the first three quarters of a mile in 109 and four fifths. Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Sham is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today as Mike Gallant and Twice a Prince are both coming up to him now. But Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost a 16th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that seems impossible to catch. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Twice a Prince has taken second, and Mike Gallant has moved back to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front. It's going to be Twice a Prince second, Mike Gallant third, Private Smiles fourth, and Sham, who had it today, got back to fifth. An amazing, unbelievable performance by this miracle horse. And look at Mrs. Sweetie. She's having the time of her life. She and Lucian Lauren, who own this most magnificent animal.
The greatest racing game is at the Racing on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at A.